Well, let's turn then to 1 Kings chapter 19. And I'm just going to read these first 8 verses again, because we're going to focus on these verses. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, "So may the gods do to me, and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of these false prophets that have been killed by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid, and he arose and ran for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my father's." And he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. Well, in these verses that we've read, there's a clear demonstration, I think, of the fragile nature of saving faith. This man Elijah was a great man of God. Great faith. He just performed a wonderful miracle through praying for years about the famine, that it would be blessed to the people of Israel, and that he would demonstrate to the false prophets who were controlling Israel at that time, who the Israelites believed and served and worshipped, that in Mount Carmel they would have a contest. You bring your bulls and you pray to your God, and I'll pray to mine. And the God that answers by fire will be the real God, right? And they say, right. And of course, Elijah, God heard Elijah. And answered his prayer. And yet, we find that this man, this great man, his faith became weak as water. Because we read that when Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and how he killed the 400 prophets, Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah. And he said, "So many gods do to me, and more also, if you do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow, I'm going to kill you within 24 hours. You're going to be like these false prophets that you have just killed." And Elijah's scared stiff of this woman's threat. She hasn't done anything yet. She's just said what she's going to do. But nevertheless, he is scared stiff. He ran for his life. Now, I'm very thankful that such passages are in the Bible, because it makes me realize that these men that we read of, we think they're special, and they've got something special that we don't have. But they don't, actually. And I feel in good company when I read things like that. These men who we think are superhuman, when they can do such wonderful things, that other times they're just like you and I. They're weak in faith, and they're afraid, and they go running for their lives. And Elijah is running for his life. He's afraid that Jezebel will get him and kill him. But we are told in Scripture that Elijah was a man with a nature, a disposition, a body, a mind, a heart, a soul, like ours. He's no different. We're fickle. And as I said, these verses encourages me and strengthens me, and I hope it does the same for for you, because we are inclined to think that God's heroes are specially endowed with something fantastic that we just don't have. But their faith is identical to our faith. The faith of the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints that we read of, who did wonderful things and endured wonderful things, it's the very same as the faith of the weakest Christian today. The faith is the same. And more important, the object upon which the faith is the same. You see, it's not faith that's really important. It's where your faith is. It's like the tying the rope of a boat, an anchor. The anchor has got to be fixed. The bollard on the pier is really what keeps the boat, not the rope. The rope keeps it up to a point, but unless the bollard is secure, the boat will drift. It's what your faith is in. You can have strong faith in something that won't save you. No matter how strong it would be, if it's not Christ, if it's not God, Christ's Son, God's Son, who died on the cross and made atonement for our sins, it won't save us. So the faith of Elijah here is the same faith, it's the same on the same object, Jesus Christ and his sacrifice and his offering. You know, faith is like a computer, a powerful computer, in the hands of an operator who can do wonderful things, get wonderful results, and things can come out exactly what he wants, and just two or three clicks and he's got all the information he wants. Wonderful. But that same computer in the hands of Granny doesn't know how to operate, doesn't know what button to press. It's not much help. Except what use you make. What use we make of our faith. We can have faith and it's lying dormant. We've got to make use of it. We read that Elijah, we read it in verse 10 there, of chapter 18. No, we didn't actually read it, but he said, I'm very jealous. No, it's verse 19. It's chapter 19, rather. Verses 10. I'm very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. I'm very zealous. Now, the word jealous in Hebrew is the same as zealous. And it's the same in English, too, really. It means the same. Zealous and jealous. I have this ambition, and I prize this thing so much that I want this thing to be great. Now, I'm very jealous of God, is what Elijah said. And he was strengthened in his faith, and that zeal for the Lord needs to be cultivated. Your faith, my faith, needs to be cultivated, needs to be nurtured, needs to be nourished, needs to be fed and watered and strengthened, just like our bodies need water and food to be strengthened. So spiritually, our faith in Christ needs to be nurtured. We have to train ourselves for godliness. Train ourselves like an athlete trains for the Commonwealth Games or the Olympic Games. He trains, he practices, and he strengthens his muscles. So you and I, in our faith, in our life for God, we have to train ourselves and become strong in faith. You see, we need to become stronger and stronger because we are weak. We can be weak. We read in the Bible, we sometimes sing in the metrical psalms that man in his best state is altogether vanity, in his best state. And unless we strengthen and cultivate our faith, it won't happen. You see, an unbeliever can train himself and do the things that you and I can do through faith. He can do the same. But he won't become godly because he doesn't have faith. He doesn't have God's grace. So the grace that God gives us when we're converted and come to faith, come to believe, that is something precious that All believers have it. They're all believers are the same. All the believers have faith in Christ. And that faith needs to be nourished and strengthened. But when we don't have that faith, we can do anything we like. We can read the Bible all day. We can pray all night. But we'll not become godly unless we have God's grace and the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ within us. Now then, we read about Ahab. He came and he told and he said to his wife, he came home and he told his wife everything. Let you and I do. We come home from work or something has happened or we've been on the phone and we come home and we go and tell our wife. And he came and he told, you know what happened today? Oh my, Jezebel, what happened today? All the prophets you have, they're all been killed. This man Elijah, this man who prayed about the heavens being shut up so that it wouldn't have rain, he's killed all the prophets. That's what he's done. You see, Ahab saw Elijah and no one else. He didn't see God behind Elijah. He told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how Elijah killed all the prophets. It wasn't God, he said, but it was. It was God behind it all. You see, he was spiritually dead. He was spiritually blind. Elijah was spiritually blind. He killed all the prophets. Not God, but it was God. God commissioned Elijah to do that. Elijah was God's agent to kill the prophets. Because we read there in chapter 18, verse 36. I've done all these things at your word. Chapter 18, verse 36. I've done all that at your word. What I did because you told me, Lord, and I was obedient. And it was really God that took away the life of these 400 false prophets. Because they diametrically opposed God. They were wicked people. They knew what they were doing and they sinned against God. And they knew what was going to happen in that culture. They knew that to rebel against God was going to end up in grief. And Elijah killed them on God's behalf. I've done all these things at your word. And one would have hoped that Ahab would have been converted and would have turned and believed in God when the fire came down and consumed Elijah's offering. And it didn't consume. Nothing happened. Not a voice was heard in reply to all the crying and the tearing of themselves of the false gods. You see, it's only God's power that can change a man. God's power. Now, when Jezebel heard from Ahab, she made this pronouncement in verse 2. So may the gods do so to me and more also, if your life will not be like the life of one of these 400 prophets, false prophets. Now, she sent a messenger. See, she hadn't guts, really, to go and meet Elijah. If you're going to send a message to someone, no, I'll not go and meet them. I'll send an email. I'll send a text rather than going to meet someone that you really should meet and speak to in love and kindness, face to face, face to face. She sent a messenger. She hadn't the guts to go and meet Elijah. Sent a messenger. She couldn't face him personally. He was just down the road. He just came and ran ahead of the chariot that took her husband home. We need to face those that we might have a disagreement with, and when we make amends, and let's look people in the eye, face to face, and speak openly and lovingly and kindly to them. Now, where was her faith? Her faith were in the gods, not in Jehovah. Her faith was in the gods. May the gods do so to me. Married to the King of Israel. Israel, God's covenanted people. The God that delivered Israel and made them a great nation. Took them out of Egypt. From the slavery of Pharaoh. And made them a great nation. And they grew and all the nations were afraid of them. And this woman married to the king of Israel. And she's putting her faith in the gods of the nations, the gods of the world. We want to be like the world. When God has brought us out and separated us through faith in him, it's so much of a temptation to be like the others outside who don't believe in God and to follow their ways. But God would have us follow him. Jezebel put her hope in the gods. She was a hard, stubborn, determined person. And we still got them around. We still have got them around. People who can't stand God, the living God. Some of us were hearing David Robertson yesterday. And I heard him in this place here, actually in this hall at a meeting a week ago, or 10 days ago, at a DECA meeting. He was telling me about Peter Tatchell and how he hates Jesus Christ. Hates Jesus Christ. And how he met with teachers in the school here in Dundee who were listening to an address that he was to give. He said, supposing, they said to him, supposing you proved to me that there was a God, I would not believe. And I hate your God, and I hate Jesus. So there's people like Jezebel today. I will not believe. I don't want him. Now Elijah got Jezebel's message, and he was afraid, and he ran for his life. Where did he get the energy from to run 100 miles? He ran from Jezreel, from Carmel to Jezreel. Where did he get the energy from? 100 miles. Well, he got from the same place as Usain Bolt got the energy to run the way he ran at the last year's Olympic Games. He got to the same place that you and I have energy to come here today, walking or whatever. From our metabolism, that God, that system that God has placed in each one of us, that system that he has put whereby we can expend energy. Now, we have energy to walk a mile. That's marvelous. That's wonderful that we can walk a mile, that you can walk a mile, that I can walk a mile, that I can play badminton, that I can play football. It's wonderful when you think of all the different things that could go wrong with our bodies, with our system, with our breathing, and so on. It's wonderful that we're all together. The fact that we can do something, walk a mile, is wonderful. Only needs 100 times more to walk 100 miles. Yes, God gave him something special, a miracle. But he used the same organs, the same breathing, respiratory system. He can do these things. You see, a miracle happens every second of life. Wonderful, the grass growing. It's wonderful. Strawberries coming from the ground. Tasty, beautiful strawberries from a muddy ground. How does that happen? It's wonderful. Apples from a tree. Tasty and delicious. But we're so used to it, and God has implanted, ordained and appointed fruit from trees, strawberries from the ground to be a regular occurrence. And he's allowed for things, and science to say, oh, it's because of these things. It's God that's given all these powers into the universe. God has given it. It's marvelous. It happens. It happens when it happens so regularly, so consistently, we take it for granted. But it's a marvel that you and I can speak and talk and live and move. That's wonderful. And for people to do exceptional things, as we can see, wonderful people, through training generally, as we find, and through practice. But now and again, God just shows us that he can do wonderful things. A tree from an acorn. An oak tree from an acorn. The birth of a human being from within us. It's wonderful. God. How did this happen? How did that happen? God's power is in the universe. Now Elijah took his eyes off God's promise and guarantee and focused on Jezebel's words. He meditated on them and he began to think, oh gosh, that could happen. She's vile and she's killed an awful lot of other guys. You know, and Ahab, she's got Ahab on her side now. Although Ahab was always on her side. And Elijah was afraid. He took his eyes off God's promise and focused on Jezebel's words. And he meditated on it. If you think and meditate long enough of what could happen to you, you too will get afraid. If you start thinking, oh, what if this happens, what if that happens? And you can plan for the next week, but this could happen and that could. And I hope, what if I don't? You can all be very negative, can't you? All be very negative. And you can start believing. Satan can come in. That's why it's so bad to meditate. Don't allow your mind to be emptied. Yoga and all these things. Don't allow your mind to be empty. Fill your mind with truth, with God's word. Don't empty your mind, because Satan will come in. Fill it with goodness, truth, and righteousness. We can give our minds to God. Meditation can be very dangerous. Focus on God's word. Concentrate on God's word with all our mind, with all our heart. Now he asked God to take away his life. A saint of God asking God to take away his life. Proof of his backsliding. Did he feel suicidal? Maybe. Was it a loss of appetite? Was it? What was it? Was it self-pity? I think a good bit of self-pity here. I'm no better than my fathers. I'm really not better. I thought I was better, but really, now I'm seeing I'm not. And he's feeling inferior to the previous generation. He's not better than them. I'm no better. I thought I was better. He must have been thinking, but I'm not better. He's getting filled with self-pity. He's listening to Jezebel's words. Mood swings. He had a high at Carmel, and now he's in the depths. How fickle. How a little thing can change our faith and our hope. A telephone call. Reading a little note somewhere. Seeing something in the paper or on the internet. And we can, our hope can go. We're fickle. That's why it's important to pray and ask God that we'd use the normal means to strengthen our faith, to build us up. Self-pity, as we said, is a form of pride. And that's man's biggest problem. Pride. Self-pity means that we feel we're not getting the recognition we deserve. That's the definition of self-pity. It's pride. We're sorry. We're disappointed. We're not getting the recognition. Look, all this has happened to me, and you're not sympathizing with me. Self-pity is pride. It's a horrible sin. Wishing to die is not a good spiritual sign. Now, I know some of us have come from a culture where people say, oh, I wish I was away from this wicked world. That's not godliness. You are judging God for not taking you away and saying you have no purpose in this world. You're denying God's wisdom by saying, I wish I was away, and I wish I was away from here. I'm longing to be home. I'm too spiritual for this world. Oh dear me. What pride. What self-valuation. Take away my life, Lord. Take away my life. Here's the saint. Saying, Lord, I'm finished. Take me away from here. Wrong. Sinful. Contrast that with the psalmist and the psalms that we sing. Preserve my life, Lord. Preserve me to serve you. Let your tender mercies come to me that I may live. I don't want to die. I want to live and proclaim the name of the Lord. Let my soul live. And I'll praise you. Spare me and I'll praise you. And I'll sing psalms to you and songs and praises. That's what it said. God created life for our enjoyment, friends. God created the world for our enjoyment. as well as His. He created the world for our pleasure as well as His pleasure. Value this world. We'll be in eternity long enough. Make the most of this life. Praise God, bless God, do all the good you can. And don't ask God to take you away before He is finished with you. Before He gave you life, He'll take it away when you have accomplished, and when I have accomplished what we were meant to accomplish. Slothful, he went to sleep. Sign of backsliding, surely. He lay down under a tree and fell asleep. Slothfulness. And then someone tapped his shoulder. Someone tapped his shoulder. An angel. Where did an angel come from? Well, who are angels? What does the Bible tell us about angels? They're ministering spirits. They are spirits sent out to serve God's people, sent out to help, sent out to minister. Those who will inherit salvation, those who are Christians, those who are going to inherit the earth, inherit and be an heir with God of all creation. An angel tapped his shoulder. Rise and eat. And there was a meal before him. Glass, a jar of water, and a cake, stones, hot stones, I think. Wonderful. God provided it. Yes, a miracle, but you know, I believe it was someone who came. It was an angel in the form of a man. Someone came and laid it there. If there's someone around there who witnessed it, they would say, well, this man came along. Just as it happens today. As it happened then. Angels take human bodies and appear like humans and can do. It doesn't happen often now. Now don't go home and say you saw one on the way home. Unless you did. But it happens. Because it's God taking special care of one of His children that are precious. Here's moody Elijah. I'm no better. Well, Elijah, I thought Ahab would be converted. I thought Jezebel would be converted. After this demonstration, I'm no use. He's moody. And there's an angel, God sending an angel to take special care. Isn't that wonderful? God does it still. He still does it. He can send a friend. It's usually a friend. But it might be to someone special you never met before. I think there's perhaps one occasion in my life. Someone appeared. I don't know where he came from. And I don't know where he went. But he helped. A special time. I don't know. I'm not saying that. I don't know. But I know it can happen. Because God said. And God does these things. Elijah, you see, was on his way to the Mount of God, Horeb, Mount Sinai, where God, what happened at Mount Sinai? That's where God met Israel, His covenanted people, and entered into a covenant with Israel. And this was the very thing that Elijah was concerned about. That Israel was breaking the covenant. They were throwing God out, as it were. We don't want God anymore. We're getting on fine now. We don't want Him anymore. So he's going back and 40 days and 40 nights. Who was up on the Mount of God? Who was in the Mount of Sinai 40 days and 40 nights? Moses, the man who led them out of Egypt. 40 days and 40 nights. They went in the strength of that food. Just as the strength of food can get you going for 24 hours. So with God's special power, you can make it go for 40 days and 40 nights. Doesn't happen often. But it can. why we know that Elijah was backsliding, wasn't close to God, wasn't walking to God, is because no word of thankfulness. He got a wonderful meal, a provision. He never gave thanks, it didn't look like. He didn't thank God before or after. I just went back to sleep. He went back to sleep. Slothfulness. And then angel came again and touched him. Now rise and eat. Second time. You've got a long journey to go, yeah? You're going to need food. Well, why did he not, 100 days, why did he not be able to do this extra? Because God wasn't going to give him a special blessing. And you're going to need food. Because you're going to have to walk on your own strength. I'm not going to carry you this time as God carries us sometimes in life. He's not going to carry you. You're going to have to go in the strength of these mercies. So arise and eat. Go meet God. The angel said, go meet God. He's got things to tell you. He's got things to discuss with you. You've got more business. You've got to speak to the kings of the other kings of the nations round about. His work wasn't finished. It's not the work maybe he wanted to go and meet other kings. It's bad enough going to have to meet King Ahab and tell him for 3 years you're not going to have that, famine's going to continue. It was already going for 6 months. And to go for an earthquake, it wasn't nice. He didn't look forward to meeting the king and telling him these messages. And that's life. You and I have to do things we don't like. That's God's calling, was to do what he asks us, cheerfully and joyfully, because there's a better life above, a wonderful world for those who believe in Jesus Christ. Well, may God bless his word. I'm going to read these verses again, because I love them. Let's read them again. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, saying, so may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. Then he was afraid, and he arose and ran for his life, and he came to Beersheba, that's further from here to Glasgow, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there, and he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he asked that he might die, saying, it's enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I'm no better than my fathers. And he lay down and slept under a broom tree, and behold, an angel touched him, and said to him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones, and a jar of water, and he ate and drank, and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you. And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. And may God bless to us.